Welcome to the Urban Mission Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information about Urban Mission and other resources, visit urbanmissionjc.com.
Morning. It is so great to be home. And I still call this home. This is my home, even though we're beginning to lay a foundation for a new home. This is still our home, and it's great to be with y'all this morning. The worship was incredible, and this morning I'm just going to be speaking out of our experience of late and what God's been doing in me over the past 4 or 5 months. And when I say me, I believe that includes my husband because we are one, but you'll know I use I a lot, but it's we. And if it's not we, I hope he will speak up and say, don't include me in that. But, you know, God's been doing some crazy stuff in our life over the past several months, things we would have never expected. And I know the last time I spoke in October, when all this was just starting, I talked about how when the Lord calls us to go or to come, we go. And we do it in obedience. And through the last several months, the Lord's just been talking to me about what it means to be fully surrendered. And I'm just going to touch on that this morning. But first, I want to pray. So, Lord, we thank you because your presence is so incredible. And we just, Lord, want to come into a life-changing encounter with you today, Lord. So, Lord, I come to you and I surrender my notes, my opinions, my plan, and we ask that you speak this morning, Lord, because you are the only one that can shift us into where you need us to be. So we thank you and we welcome you, Holy Spirit. I've been tracking with you all where I'm listening to the messages, and you know, Jeremy had a very a message that was kind of on point with mine last week, and I definitely have a little different perspective, but you will hear that all our perspectives are good. It's how the Lord speaks to each one of us. And this morning in worship, Paolo was singing about the one thing. He's the one thing we need. He's the one thing that should be the most important thing in our lives. We're going to start by reading Luke 14, 25 to 35. So I'm going to just read through that. A large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money. And then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, 'There's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it.' Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Salt is good for seasoning, but if it loses its flavor, how could you make it salty again? Flavorless salt is good neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown away. And anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." It's a strong word that the Lord gives us this morning. I want to just go right to the very first sentence. A large crowd follow Jesus. The Lord's been speaking to me out of this passage and others for the last several months. And we think about it. This is a hard calling. It's a hard calling. We need to count the cost of following after Jesus. And when the large crowd was following him, Jesus knew that whole crowd was not going to count the cost and make it through. So he turned around and he told them exactly what it's going to cost them to follow him. You know, sometimes we know that God is good. We know he is a good God. But there has been a gospel that has come forth that is all about his goodness and leaves out the hard part that he calls us to in his goodness. It doesn't mean that he's not good. It just means that we are going to carry the cross that he carried. He's not saying you're absolved because I'm good. He sent his son because he's good. He gives us grace and he supports us and he makes a way through every situation, but he doesn't always pick us up and take us out of it or do it the way we would like it done. When we think God is good, we think everything should just be good. And when he's not good, we think, okay, God, where are you? Where are you? Because this isn't good. This is bad. It's really bad. It hurts. I'm sad. I'm scared. I'm in pain. Where are you, God? He's there. And in that place, if we keep him number one, we will find the peace. We will find the grace. And we will walk through every situation because he is good. Then he goes on to say, if we want to be his disciple, we have to hate our mother, our father, our brothers, our sisters, our children, our spouse. Well, what does the Lord mean by that? How could he be good and then ask us to hate? You know, when I was young, I always struggled with that. I skipped over that verse. I never wanted to read it. I didn't want to hear about it because how did it line up with the word of the Lord? But it does line up. Because if we go back and we look at what that word hate actually means in the Greek, we find out it's the word misio. And misio means love less, esteem less. He's not telling us to hate our parents. He's not telling us to hate our spouse because God is love. He wants us to love. But he doesn't want us to love them more. He's always has to be number one. And I would say to you that in areas of my life, I had esteemed things higher. Not intentionally, not even knowingly. But when you step away, you can look back and say, okay, Lord, I see what you were doing. You were shifting me because I was in a place where I wasn't focused on what you wanted. I was focused on what I thought was important. Because we all think there are really important things we need to accomplish, but we fail to check in with the Lord and say, is this important to you, Lord? Is this where you want me right now? We have to carry the cross just like, you know, Jesus went to the cross to purchase our salvation and give it to us as a free gift. It didn't come cheap. It cost a lot. To us, it's free. But I would say to you, it's not cheap. That's just the beginning. That surrender to salvation is the beginning of a life that needs to be walked out continuously, intentionally surrendering. Bear our own cross and come after him. The cross to us represents two things. To me, it represents unspeakable pain and agony for Jesus. And it also represents to me his infinite love. So just like it costs the Lord in this pain and humiliation and suffering that he had to go to the cross because he loved us so much, that if we love the Lord as much as the Lord loved us, then we are going to endure some of the same things, especially the humiliation for loving him, right? A lot of times when we profess our faith, we are ridiculed for that. We walk in righteousness, we are ridiculed for that. It is nothing compared to what the Lord went through for us. But again, we think it should all be a happy thing. And I would say that often the church sells it that way. And I hate to use that word. But I have been through many services where they just sell salvation out like it is going to be a party from this day forward. But I would say to you that that prayer is just the beginning. You could say that prayer 12 hours later, be right back where you were before you said that prayer. What we need to do is lead people into encounters with the Holy Spirit, encounters with the Lord, because it is those encounters that change us from the inside out, and we can never be the same. You know, I was thinking about how the Lord brings crazy pictures to my mind, but pigs, you know, like pigs love to be filthy and in the mud. It keeps them cool, and they love the mud. So you can wash off the pig and have it all clean, and where is it going? It's going right back to that mud because they like to be in mud. And he's comparing that to Christians. We could wash them off. They could come and get washed off with a prayer. And I'll follow you, Lord, and I'll surrender to you today, Lord. They get washed off. They get cleansed, rinsed. But 2 days later, they're right back in the mud, because they haven't committed themselves to a life of transformation. They haven't asked the Lord to come in and encounter them. You know, if the scripture in John 16:7, where the Lord is telling his disciples, I have to go. I have to leave now. Because if I don't leave, the helper or the comforter is not going to come. He can't come. And Jesus knew they were going to need someone. They were going to need the Holy Spirit to help them through this life. So the only way we are going to transform, that we're going to change, is if we are fully surrendered and we allow the Holy Spirit to encounter us in ways that we've never been encountered before. Because God doesn't call us to just be stagnant in our salvation. He calls us from glory to glory to glory, which means greater and greater and greater in him. Not in ourselves, but in him. You know, oftentimes the Lord calls us or asks us to surrender something that we feel so comfortable in. Like, Lord, this is my thing. I can do this with my eyes closed. Why would you want me to let this go? Because if we just stay in our thing that we do well, or the routine that we have with the Lord, because we believe that's what it is. It's keeping us where we're at. But I'm going to tell you something. Everywhere I go, I am hearing the same word. God is not doing what he was doing last year. He is doing something new. And we have a choice today to follow him into the new or to stay in the old stagnant place. Yesterday's place, not today's place. Jesus tells us here to count the cost, and he compares it to someone who's going to build an expensive project and then can't finish it because he never sat down. And who would go into building a multi-million dollar building and not sit down and get all the facts, get all the quotes, get all the, know what's going to have to happen, make sure you have the funding? But he's comparing it to people who say, yes, God, I'm all surrendered. I'm here. I'm yours. But they never think about what that's going to cost them. And as soon as the Lord says, well, you need to lay this down, they're like, well, I don't want to do that. But yet they've been out professing how they are now a Christian and they love the Lord, but their life is not lining up. Right? So that's where he says, count the cost, because you're going to look foolish if you are salty in the beginning, but then you lose your flavor. And you're good for nothing. Because now you're calling yourself one thing, but living another thing, and you're confusing everyone. So you're not good for the kingdom. How do we keep ourselves salty? You know, Ronnie got up here and talked about Paul and Silas. Now there's a man, if you want to learn how to surrender your life, that man was on the other side, hated Jesus, hated Christians, was killing them. And he had an encounter with the Lord, an encounter that transformed him completely, 180 degree transformation. We think it happened in a day, but if you really get into the word, it wasn't a day. He had an encounter, and then he was taken away where he was discipled. And that's something else we have a problem with. Submitting and being discipled and not being offended when we're corrected. But if we want to be fully surrendered and doing what the Lord has called us to and not just sitting on the sidelines, which I think we're in a season, an era. I'm not going to call it a season anymore because it's something new. When you read about the churches in Revelation and how the Lord just spewed out the lukewarm church. Lukewarm is not going to cut it. Complacency is not going to cut it. Sunday morning is not going to cut it. We're just not going to make it if that's all we're doing. Christ calls us to a discipleship that is not cheap, not easy, and not to be entered into without deep consideration of the cost. He expects us to be loyal to him over every other competing loyalty, including our families, including our spouses, including our self-interest, our jobs, our possessions. We can't be this fully surrendered without an encounter with God. When we are encountered in that way, when we encounter the Lord in that way, and how do we encounter the Lord? We ask him. We ask him, Lord, I need you. I need an encounter with you that will change my life. And then get ready, because it's coming, right? When God encounters us in that way, we're not just surfacely changed. We are changed from the inside out. And then you know what? We can't run back to the mud because we are grossed out by the mud. We can no longer run back to our sin because he's changed us from the inside out, and we don't like that mud anymore. We can see it, we could be tempted by it, but when we try to get close to it, we are just repulsed. That is when the Lord has changed you from the inside out. We won't even want to toy with those things anymore. God's not looking for a social encounter on Sunday morning. He's long done with that. When we come together, it is supposed to be a transformation hub, where people can come into this place and leave someone else. When Saul had his encounter, that's when he became Paul. His name changed. He was no longer the same person. And that's what the Lord wants to do in this day. He wants to change our name. And I don't mean that literally. I mean he wants to change who we are. And back in that day, your name said had a lot to do with who you were. People were named by what that name meant because that name was spoken over them. I think that's so cool. I wish I had known that when I was naming my children. But I didn't have that understanding. Yeah. When he does that, we become a slave to his righteousness. Like when we are slipping away, if we are staying in the Lord, when we start moving out of line, he just pulls us right back in. I'm sick to my stomach sometimes when I'm in a place where I know I'm not meant to be. It doesn't even have to be that bad. I just know I'm not meant to be here, so I need to go, right? The flow of culture will pull us away from holiness. We cannot be distracted by all the distractions that we have available to us today, because that is the tool of the enemy. We read, the thief comes to what? Kill, steal, and destroy. And he does that through keeping us distracted, busy, stressed, and entertained. Right? Jesus came to give us life, everlasting life, a full life. But if we allow ourselves to be entertained by the enemy, we're going to miss out. Let me tell you, we're living in a crazy time, but I will also tell you, we are living in an exciting time. And if you are here, alive, in this hour, the Lord has a place for you. He has something for you to do. And he has put in you everything you need to stand against the culture of the day. He wants us living the life he has fully outlined for us in his word. A fully surrendered, powerful, supernatural life. That's what he has for us. Not a watered down, compromised life, but a fully surrendered one. And our time here on earth, as we learn, as we are getting older, you are all still young, but we are getting older, we are learning that life is short. And it just takes like this. And you're now graduated into heaven, which is awesome for you, but horrible for us, right? But I don't think we have time to waste. I think we need to wake up. I know I do. I know the Lord's been awakening me because I am in a place that I can't say I've ever been before. Peter 5, 8 to 9 tells us, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We need to be sober-minded. We need to be watchful. What does that mean? We need to have clarity and be praying. We need to be hearing from the Lord so that we could be praying into what he wants for our lives, our families' lives, our children's lives, our communities, our churches, our state, our nation. We need to be sober-minded. And how do we get to be sober-minded? By not being distracted, by keeping our focus on the Lord. Self-control and sober-mindedness allows us to go up to his level and not down to the level of the culture. So when we find ourselves caught in the fray of what's happening around us, we need to step aside and seek the Lord. Because if we are thinking like he's thinking and we are sober-minded, filled with his presence, we can see above what's going on in the moment. We can rise above it. We don't get to experience all of him if we're going with the flow of the culture. We only get all of him when we enter into encounters with him and allow Holy Spirit to transform our lives so that we are no longer the same. We don't even recognize ourselves anymore. And we can't do anything else but follow where he leads, even if that means letting go of people, places, and things that you hold dearly. I'm just reading some notes. The Lord was speaking to me. I just was freely writing as he was speaking, and I'm just reading to you what he spoke to me as I was preparing this. He has a big ask. The Lord has a big ask. God has a big ask for us. He gave us his son so we can have eternal life, and he has a big ask on the other side. But surrendering to his ask is the most incredible thing you can ever do. It is difficult, it is sad, it is hard, it is painful, but it's exciting at the same time. He never said, follow me, it's going to be easy. Come on, it's going to be easy. We don't read that in the Word. We may say that to people when we're trying to evangelize them. Oh, your life is going to be so much better. True. But we have to also not lead them to believe that it's going to be all roses and joy. It is going to be joy. Roses and happiness. Joy is different. We'll get to that. Actually, it's the next thing. When we are surrendered, God gives us so much joy. And that's not the happy, fleeting happiness, that fleeting. It's about the moment or what's happening. You know, it's not about that. It's about a joy that is unspeakable, deep within your spirit, that even when you're going through hard things, you still have that joy in your spirit. Joy is lasting. We need to walk in the love of Christ that leads to joy, and that happens only when we surrender. It doesn't depend on circumstances. It doesn't even matter if we're happy, sad, angry, upset. We still have that joy. That's the kind of joy we want to walk in. So about a year and a half ago, I'm going to get into a little bit about how we are where we are today and how this all ties in. So about a year and a half ago, and this just speaks about how God encounters us, and I just want to give you our experience. It's a bit of a testimony. I was blessed to be able to be part of a meeting in Charleston, South Carolina, at the Citadel. And everything that happened surrounding this meeting was so supernatural. The Lord put it on the apostles' heart. In 3 weeks, they pulled it together, not even knowing initially where it would be held. That it's a long story. I'm not going to get into that. But trust me, the whole thing from the beginning to the end was supernatural. Supernaturally came together. And that Citadel was packed in 3 weeks. Even the fact that I was there was supernatural because I had to take time off I didn't have. We flew down there. Ruth and I went, and Ronnie, and we flew down there and for a couple of days. We were there for maybe 2 days. But we were in this meeting that was one day long. And God met me in a way where I knew something major was happening in my spirit. I cried probably for 2 weeks following that meeting every time I thought about the Lord. But I didn't know what it was other than he was tying my heart to that city. That's all I knew. You know, I didn't know what was going to unfold over the next year. But almost a year to the day was when this, you know, God has a way when we say, whatever you want, Lord, I'm surrendered to you. And in that meeting, that was how I was praying because I knew I had to surrender to whatever it was he was doing. But I didn't know the details. You know, we want to know the details. I want to know the details. I'm like, Lord, if I'm going to surrender, what does that mean? What is it going to look like? But he doesn't share those things because he wants our faith level to rise. Like, if God's calling me to it, then it's going to be okay. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be simple. But it's going to be okay. It's going to be good because God's good, right? So about a year later, almost to the same day, week, I get an email. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God works very subtly sometimes, and we can miss it. So I think about a chessboard. I think I spoke about this before, but that's what the Lord was showing me. You know, when you play the game of chess, which I don't, but what I have perceived is that you have to be very strategic in your thinking, and one small move can change the whole course of the game. And I feel like that's the Lord. He's strategic always. And one little thing, if we are paying attention, can change everything. And so I got an email. And that just escalated into an opportunity in Charleston that, in all honesty, was life-changing, very difficult, but I felt the Lord all over it. And I even struggled with that, because I'll tell you, when you surrender and say, Lord, whatever the cost, then, you know, it's not easy. So over time, I just kept putting fleeces out for a season, and the Lord just kept showing up, and the answer was always yes, yes, yes. And then we went to another meeting with the same person who held the Citadel meeting, Chuck Pierce, for those that know him, right up here in Basking Ridge. He had come to Basking Ridge, and I forget what the purpose of the meeting was. There was something specific. But in that meeting, Holy Spirit sealed in my heart that this was what I was supposed to be doing. And I can't tell you exactly what it was, but it was an encounter. Sometimes when God encounters us, we know something's happening, but we can't verbalize exactly what it is. But we leave that place or that encounter with a new perspective and a new urgency, I would say, in my spirit. So he has met us all along the way, supernaturally, I would say. Like, I can't even begin to tell you how every time I was kind of like, okay, God, I'm a little shaky now on whether this is you, right? Because we were being called to pick up everything and all we knew in our comfortable place and move to a whole new state. I've always lived in this state. And leave all our family, friends, job, security, all of that behind for something totally new. And so I was really pressing in because I needed to know. And the Lord met me every step of the way. Before we left, while we've been there, the month that we have been there, it's just a month, but I feel like he's already laying a foundation to make it a home for us. And has it been easy? No. But he has given me grace. And I will say to you, when you count the cost and you say, yes, Lord, whatever you say or whatever you want, he gives you the grace as you step in. So it's not as hard as I thought it was going to be. But it's not easy. I'm in a whole new job where I'm like a fish out of water. And I need to learn everything. I haven't been in that position in 35 years. I worked for my old company for 35 years. I knew everything about my bosses. I knew everything about the business. I could do it with my eyes closed. I had good relationships there. I had people doing things for me. Here, I'm like on my own. I'm starting over. And I'm learning a new state law. I'm learning a new boss, how he likes things done, new people. So it's a whole new experience, but it's been a good experience, but I am like a fish out of water. But God is blessing even that. So all this to say that God is, we're not the only ones that he is calling out in this season. I'm not telling you he's going to move you to another state or he's going to change your job, but there is something that the Lord has for you in this season. It's not the same thing that he had last month. It's a new thing. It's a very new thing. You know, God's even aligning us with people and a church and a ministry group, and we are just feeling like we're being loved on by the Lord. Because how does that happen? You know, we went into this big church this first day, and they have a true word. They are spirit-filled. They're just like us, functioning prophetically, the whole bit. And we sat down behind this people we didn't know. And by the end of the service, we knew them. They were inviting us out to lunch. Now we have friends. Like, it's God just supernaturally sets things up. We could have sat anywhere, right? So I want to say to you that God, Jesus is calling us today. Oh, there's one more thing that I want to touch on, actually, if you give me a minute. That last scripture, that last verse in Luke 14:35, it kind of seems a little out of place, right? Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. And I want to talk about the ears to hear. You know, I've been going out at, the weather's nice there usually. So lunchtime, I leave my office and I go and I walk. And I was walking one day and I'm just praying about this and this scripture. And the Lord started to show me these little wisps in the air. They were just like little wisps, thin little wisps. And he said to me, this is how I'm speaking in this season. It's like just a wisp. Because I'm calling my people to press in. Because you're not going to hear if you're not pressing in. And you're going to miss what I'm doing in the moment. I'm sure I've missed a lot. But God is gracious in that. Like, he gives us opportunity after opportunity. But I want to urge you all to start pressing in. Because it's in pressing into him that we can see and hear what he is doing. So he's speaking to the crowd that day, and he is saying, have ears to hear, because he knew a lot of people weren't going to understand what he said. But those that pressed in, those that wanted the encounter, they would get the revelation on the word that he was speaking, and they would sign up for the discipleship. They would count the cost and say yes, but not everybody would. So he's showing me that he's speaking in a whisper, in this faint thing. He's not shouting at us. Sometimes he shouts. He shouted at me many times, actually, because I don't listen. But right now, it is in the pressing in that we are going to know where we need to be and what we need to do. Salvation is a covenantal. I'm just reading some more notes because I don't want to miss it. Seeking God's truth takes energy and focus. It takes a willingness to be challenged and changed. While the way of God's truth is not the most convenient or fun way, we can be assured it is the best way. Salvation is a covenantal relationship with Christ. He freely offers salvation to us, but also demands. He wasn't telling them that you have the option. He was telling them this is a demand on your life. He demands that we live in a covenantal relationship with him. It's not one-sided. It's a free gift to us, but it's not cheap, because we have to give up things we think are important to be in that covenantal relationship. Jesus is calling us to come and follow him today. Follow him down a path of adventure. Just ask him for it and then surrender to it. Your life will never be the same. So let's stand up. Who wants to go on an adventure with the Lord? I mean, like, we can't even. I'm going to tell you, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, I would have told you were crazy if you told me I'd be living in South Carolina. But, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure. So my husband's just reminding me about one morning, about, I would say, 3 or 4 days into my new job. I was driving into work that morning, and I was just having a rough day, and I was praying. I was just praying. I pray. My car is my prayer closet, so, because I have a commute, and it makes the commute so much better when you're praying in the car. So I'm just praying my way into work, and I come down the little alleyway into our parking lot, and I see ahead of me a garbage truck and this man who looked like perfectly, you know, usually you see garbage men and they're messy, and he was crisp and clean, and he was just happy, like he was a happy guy. And so my window was down because it was warm, and he comes up to me, he's like, good morning, ma'am, good morning, and I'm like, good morning. And so I pull up to go into my parking lot, he comes running after my car, and he's like, literally, I saw him as just jumping up and down, a happy man. He was just so happy, singing, and he hands me a card, and on the card it said, God loves you, always. And I said, thank you so much. And he goes, do you know? And I said, I know. So he just started jumping up and down again and then went away to his truck, and I've never seen him again. So I often think, was he an angel? And just encountering me in that way that morning, because I needed it. It changed my day. It would have been a bad day. Yeah. So let's pray. So Lord, we come this morning, Lord, and we open ourselves to you for an encounter with your spirit that will change our lives, oh God. We don't want to just do church or live our life the way we think is good. We want to fully surrender to all that you have for us, Lord, in this season, even the hard stuff, Lord. We just thank you that you are a good God and that you do not harm us in any way, but you do ask us to lay it all down and follow after you, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, because we know, I know that when I lay it all down, you have something so much better on the other side. You have proven that over and over and over in my life. So I thank you, Lord, that even in this hard season, that you are doing an incredible thing. And we just ask, Lord, that you would encounter each one of us, Lord, that we would not miss what you have for us moving forward into this new era of the body of Christ. We thank you, Lord. I bless each one that is here today, Lord. I ask that you speak to their hearts in the way that you deem right. And we just thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.